Here we are in the Congressional Corner with one of my favorite people in the whole world. That's right. I said it and I meant it. Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont. He's been in office since 2007. And he is, of course, the only congressman from all of the great state of Vermont. And that is extraordinary because they have two senators. Anybody can be a senator, it seems. But one congressman, that's pretty special. Do your colleagues tease you about that, that you're the only one from that state?
Well, they do. I think to some extent they're a little bit jealous, you know, because I represent all of Vermonters. And, you know, I work really well with Bernie and Patrick, and that's great. But there's six other states where they only have one member of Congress, including some pretty big ones like Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Alaska. Delaware is in that camp as well. So we've got a single representative for the state caucus, and we're a mighty group.
Wow. I'm getting a lot of letters. People are scared to death about this election. I'm sure you're getting them, too. There's a general feeling that Trump is going to steal this election one way or another. Can he do that?
Well, he can't, but the fear is he'll try. And that's what is creating so much uncertainty. I mean, the uncertainty, you're absolutely right. I mean, personally, I feel some emotional anxiety. And I think it's two things. I think, number one, obviously, everybody's concerned about COVID and whether they're healthy, but more importantly, for most people, whether people they love are healthy. And of course, with the infection rate spiking, there's a renewed anxiety. And then, of course, the underpinning economic anxiety. When are we going to get back to normal? But the second thing on this election that's so, I think, scary for people is that President Trump has made it clear that he is in advance saying it's a fixed and rigged election. And that is setting the stage for what people fear, and I'm among them, that he won't accept the results, and especially with the fact that there'll be a lot of ballots that have to be counted after the close of the polls, the mail-in ballots in some states. So it's a recipe for mischief, and the president has been extremely explicit that he will make his own determination about whether the outcome is valid or not. So how would one not be worried?
Right, but if that happens, play it out with us for a minute, Peter. I know it's so scary because I'm scared. My wife is scared. We're all scared about this. What would happen if he says, I'm not accepting and I'm not accepting this and it's a rigged election and I'm not leaving? What happens then?
First of all, that is absolutely terrifying for the Democratic stability. And so there's an immediate impact of a president refusing to accept the results. Unlike, say, Al Gore, think about that, where it was a 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court. And he believed it was better for the long term health of democracy that he not contest it. And that obviously is not President Trump. So there's real damage here. And that's what people are fearful about. Second, part of the damage is that it's chaos. We don't really know what would happen. There would be litigation everywhere. Particularly in those swing states where Trump would make the biggest contest. So you'd have litigation. Next, you'd have potential of action in state legislatures where would Trump try to put in his own electors if he had a Republican-dominated state legislature who would then vote to seat their own electors to vote for Trump despite the popular vote in that state going for Biden. And that's a fear that is well-founded as well, because ultimately you'd have the potential of the House of Representatives making the decision on who is our next president. And the way it works, as we're now all starting to learn, is that every state delegation has one vote. So in Vermont, I'd be the vote if I get reelected. But in Texas, which could have a majority of Republican or Democrat, If Biden won Texas in the popular vote, but Texas legislature was Republican, that legislature could vote in Congress for Trump, despite the popular vote back home. So that obviously is chaotic and very dangerous. So the fear people have is well-founded. Trump's made it clear he will decide himself whether it was a, quote, fair election. And then the reality is there's no playbook for this. There is absolutely no playbook.
So wait a second. So there is no playbook. But let's just say that, you know, CNN reports or the news media report that Biden has won. Trump says, I'm not leaving. It was a rigged election. I'm not getting out of here. What would happen then? Would some people say, well, he'll be escorted out forthwith?
Well, you know, Alan,
easy. Yeah.
The point here is that it's not that easy. I mean, we could get five different people here who say what would happen. But the fact is that it would be there would be pandemonium in the streets, number one. Number two, there would be lawsuits everywhere. Number three, there would be state legislative activity where if Trump unleashes this, he'd really be encouraging the state legislatures to overturn the popular vote in their state, where Trump had an opportunity to do that. And then you'd have this whole question of the vote in the House of Representatives. And all of that, it's not a scenario that any of us can just lay out. You know, it goes A to B to C, because there would be chaos after the election. And that's in many ways the biggest threat to our democracy. You know, one of my most extraordinary experiences serving in Congress was when I was at the inauguration for President Obama after and President Bush was leaving. And that was a controversial election when he won. But you have the inauguration that everybody sees on the front steps of the Capitol, and President Obama made his speech. But on the other side of the Capitol, the military, all branches of the military, have people lined up, and they parade by the newly elected president and take an oath of allegiance to the Constitution and salute the new commander in chief. And it was so moving to me to see how probably many of those people who were marching probably didn't vote for President Obama, but they took that incredible ceremony of acknowledging the civilian primacy over the military, which is a hallmark of our democracy. But that means there's norms that our candidates abide by, and Gore did. I mean, he had a pretty good case about how he got cheated out of that election in Florida with the Supreme Court denying the recount. But President Trump has made it explicit in his behavior, in his words, that those rules don't apply to him, and that's to the detriment of the stability of our democracy.
I can't help asking you this question. You may not like it, and you may say, I'm not going to answer that question, but I'm going to ask it. Did Gore make a mistake? I'll say it even worse. I think Gore made a mistake.
I don't think he did, as much as it was painful for me to see him do that. That election was so razor thin that here's the problem we had. The margin of error was greater than the margin of victory. I mean, when you literally had the vote coming down to these hanging chads and you had a recount, where let's say the recount went the way I think it might have gone, and Gore won by, you know, 100, 200 votes. That is so razor thin that neither side would ever have confidence that it was, quote, the right result. And I think that's probably what was a big reason for Gore to push. Now, the problem is, Gore lost, and then we had Bush, and then we had he made some decisions that we're still dealing with Afghanistan. I mean, all these years later, that was a very unwise in the Iraq War, in the tax cut that started to intensify the inequality that we have. So it was really consequential for this country that Bush won and Gore lost. But I totally respect the decision that Gore made at that time when it was such a razor-thin outcome. And you didn't have the voter suppression activities that the Trump administration is promoting, and in many cases this packed Supreme Court is condoning.
Peter Welch, no wonder I think so much of you, because you are always right out front and you always say what you mean. And you know what? That's very Vermont. And that is terrific. We so appreciate your being here.
And I love being with you.